Our scripture lesson today is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger and wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all in all. This is the word of the Lord. With cable TV these days, we have so many stations to pick from. I think we have like 841 or something. I don't know. It's just a huge number. But there's just there's more channels than what we know what to do with. You know, we just can't even decide which one to turn on. But a lot of them have these reality-based shows based on fixing things or restoring things. A lot of times they'll be restoring old cars. There was one that I watched where they were restoring an old tractor. I used to go to Nebraska each year, and my Uncle Pete had tractors. I was fascinated with tractors. He had big John Deere tractors, and he had this old tractor from the 20s, and it had steel wheels on it, you know, and it had these big, like, spikes in the wheels so it could move. And I was like, oh, that was really fascinating. I was like some kind of medieval tractor or something, you know. It was awesome. So I was fascinated by that. So I don't have tractors or anything like that, so I can't work on a tractor or anything like that. But I don't know if the show is still on the air or not, but on PBS there was a show called This Old House. I kind of enjoyed watching that there for a while. I'd watch it, and they do all these repairs to homes and whatnot. I think I could maybe do some of that stuff, but then I started thinking, well, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, they're really good at what they did, but I tried and failed miserably, but I tried nonetheless. But on those reality shows, they usually fix things up in one episode, maybe two, but they usually get things all fixed up and everything looks beautiful, everything's working fine and all that kind of stuff. The Bible, in many ways, is the story of God's restoration project. And beginning with the fall in Genesis chapter 3, God begins a restoration project that ends in Revelation chapter 22. And God doesn't intend just to restore individuals like ourselves, but he intends to do that, but that's not all. He doesn't simply intend to restore the church and God's people, although that's something that he will certainly do. But God's intention is really to restore all of creation. That is God's intention. And throughout the restored book, Tom Berlin talks about this restoration project. And in talking to some of y'all, it seemed like you really enjoyed that particular book. It was very straightforward, but that's really basic Wesleyan theology right there. It's very practical, and it's very relevant to everyday life. And I'm glad that y'all enjoyed that particular book study. And that is wrapping up today, was the last day for that. And throughout that, over the past few weeks, I've preached on some of the things he went through in the book. And we begin with sin and the fact that sin has marred God's good creation, and that brought about the need for restoration. Then I talked a little bit about prevenient grace that is active in our lives, even before we know that it's active in our lives. God is present, his grace is present in us, and he's beginning that process that even makes us aware that we are in need of restoration, because sometimes we're so caught up in sin that we don't even know that we need restoration. It kind of becomes normal for us. And it takes that prevenient grace of God to help us recognize that there is something amiss in our lives and that he intends to rectify that. I then talked about justification and the need to move from justification towards the center, which is sanctification. And I will close this sermon series today talking about some of the realities that each of us face as we go through that restoration process, and the realities that we face that we actually participate with God in that project of restoration. As I noted, that the word participate kind of implies that we don't do this restoration project on our own. It's not simply up to us. But it also implies that we do have a role to play in it. We just can't turn everything over to God. We do turn things over to God, but then God expects us to participate with him in that restoration process. So I think that's something that might be a bit challenging for us, because we expect the restoration project to be kind of like these shows on TV where they restore something in 1 week and everything's supposed to be fixed and that's it's supposed to be good and all that kind of stuff. And the reality is not, it doesn't work out that way. We're used to having things done like that. Things that used to take days and weeks now take hours or maybe a day, and sometimes that's not fast enough for us. But the restoration project that God has in store for us does take some time, and it's just not a one-time thing. I've started to do some yard work over the past couple weeks. I kind of enjoy doing yard work. I get out there and I enjoy it. I don't have a huge yard. I don't have a tractor, although it'd be kind of neat to mow my front yard with a John Deere tractor, probably take one swipe and it'd be done. It'd be kind of cool to do that, I would think. But I probably would get, you know, the police would be there and everything like that, so that probably wouldn't work out too well for me. But I enjoy doing yard work. I enjoy getting out there, cutting the grass. I put some fertilizer on there and get the sprinklers going and things like that. But I just can't do that one time. You know, I can't do that this week and pack up the mower for the season and let it go, because I mean, things will be growing all over the place. There'll be weeds and all kinds of stuff going on out there. So you have to be diligent about that. You have to continually go out there and work on the yard and things like that. But over time, the root system and the grass begins to get strong. It strengthens up. It gets it's to the point where it's able to actually choke out some of those weeds that are popping up and prevent them from even popping up, because the root system is so strong. And I think that's how God intends to restore our lives. There's no easy shortcut. You can't, expect to have it happen overnight. Sometimes we do, and we get frustrated because it doesn't happen fast enough for us. But it is an ongoing project that really will last the rest of your life. And God intends to not only just straighten things up a little bit or tidy up the mess. You know, I have a home office at home, and I'm as I was thinking about this sermon, I'm puzzled at how I can straighten it up a little bit, and in a couple days, it's a mess again. You know, it just, I don't know why, but I try, and it's all messed up again. So I think I'm going to have to call a timeout and assess that situation and really deal with it, because all I'm doing is straightening up piles of messes, you know, and just kind of, and they sit like that for a couple of days and it's all chaotic again. Jesus does not intend to do that with our lives. He's not going to come into our lives and kind of straighten up the messes and make them look nice for a couple of days. That's not his intention. His intention is to address that situation, not just straighten them up, but clean them up and prevent them from happening again in the future. That's what his restoration project is all about. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Colossians. He sends this letter to the church in Colossae, and he says to them, you know, you've been raised with Christ. Therefore, seek the things that are above. Stop seeking the things, these worldly things that you crave and are constantly looking for. He says, essentially, you've died with Christ. And that's an interesting take on the cross that we'll be this week going through that. Paul says, you died with Jesus, and you've been raised with Jesus. So keep that in mind this week. And that's what Paul is saying here, that you've been put to death, and you've been raised to new life in Christ. Therefore, act like it, is what he's telling them. Put away those things, impurity and passion, evil desires, anger and slander and abusive language. He says that has no part in new creation. That's not what Jesus intends to do. So those types of things have to be done away with. He essentially says, take your old self and put it away. You are somebody new. You are a new creation. And that's what Paul really focuses on throughout his letters in the New Testament, is that this isn't a one-time deal. It's just not something that you do and it's over with. It is an ongoing restoration project that God is actively doing in your lives. And it takes continual engagement. It's like the yard. You got to get out there and deal with it. Continual engagement with God is prayer. It's studying Scripture. It's coming to worship. It's doing those things that puts you in a position to hear God's word and to actually participate with God. And when we begin to do that, we begin to trust God. And we read about Abraham in our Bible study this week. And Abraham is really an interesting character in Genesis. If you haven't read the section of Genesis with Abraham, I encourage you to read that, because Abraham was not the most faithful character. There are points in the story of Abraham where he's just not faithful at all. He doesn't believe that God will bring him and Sarah a child. He doesn't believe that. Kind of takes things into his own hands. Well, God called him on that and said, you know, I can do these things. But by the end of it, by the time Abraham is nearing the end of his life, he's very faithful. His trust in God is huge. To the point where it's kind of funny in the story that God is kind of wondering, can I really trust him that much? And Abraham's basically, yeah, you can. And you can put your trust in me. So that is part of our transformation process, is that we begin to trust more that God will actually do the things that he says he's going to do in our lives, so that we have assurance at that point and we have confidence in God's ability to do things. I think sometimes we limit ourselves because we just say, well, God can't fix that. He might be able to fix some of these other things. Usually it's somebody else's, oh, God can fix all that, but for me, he's not going to do that for me. Well, I got news for you. Yeah, he will. He will fix those things. He may call us to participate and work with him on that, but he intends to fix those things. And this future that we might seem, it seems kind of bleak or whatever, God says, no, I have a future for you. There is a future, and I'm calling you into that future, and you can be assured of that. So this week is such a wonderful week to really kind of wrap up this study that we've been going through, because it does talk about the cross and the need for that. And we were separated from God. And that death on the cross, Jesus died for our sins. But that's not the end of the story. The story is really the resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit and the transformation that begins to take place at that point. So don't see salvation as a one-time event. See it as an everyday event. You wake up each day and say, you know, I'm being saved today. Because that's a fact. You're being saved today. And you can say, I'm going to be saved tomorrow and the next day. It's an ongoing salvation process that you're in with God. And move away from the old ways and move to the new ways. And I think you'll find that God will open up many things in your life, things that you could not imagine that would open up. Those things will open up for you. And God will be with you during those times. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.